This is the Inside Public Accounting podcast, where we talk numbers and the narratives inside the accounting profession. Rob Brown joining you as always, with Chelsea Summers, Executive Director of Inside Public Accounting, and the queen and the voice behind the data. Great to have you with us, Chelsea.
Hey, Rob. So today's episode is going to take a bit of a historical turn, but with a twist. We're talking about firm longevity, but also about what it takes for new firms to break through the landscape often dominated by legacy institutions.
Wow, this is such a great topic. I noticed you wrote recently on the digging that you were doing on CPA firms across the IPA 100, 200. You obviously do a lot of research here. The numbers seem absolutely staggering. I read that the average age of a top 100 firm is nearly 69 years. Is that right?
68.7 years. And in the IPA 200, the average is still nearly 57 years. These are firms that have weathered multiple economic cycles, leadership transitions, regulatory shifts. It speaks in institutional resilience, but also raises the question that are newer firms able to break into these lists, these top firms anymore?
Well, we've got some stats here in the UK that 6,000 new accounting firms started last year.
Wow.
So, and I would imagine with the barrier to entry, probably a lot are starting in the US, because we spoke on this show previously about the emergence of more boutique firms and niche domination and things like that. So there's definitely a trend going on with newer firms, perhaps not breaking in, but definitely being incorporated. Just based on the data, maybe not many coming through. I know you found four top 100 firms that were founded since the year 2000, and maybe seven more in the top 200. So out of the 200 largest firms in the US, that's what, 5% have been formed in the last quarter?
Exactly. So it's a huge shift from what we saw in the 90s through the early 90s, which we now consider the golden age of firm startups. Back then, it was more common to see talented CPAs break off and build something new. And today, the story is mostly about consolidation, mergers, and private equity.
Last quarter century, there's certainly been a lot of moves. We had a recession, we had the pandemic. I'm just thinking accounting in a skill set has been around for thousands of years, debits and credits, double entry bookkeeping. But I get a sense that accounting firms as well are sticking in the game. They've been around a lot. So let's talk about consolidation here, because that's definitely altering the competitive dynamics, it seems. The data suggests that firms are climbing the ranks because they're acquiring, they're merging, they're building in that way, probably private equity backed in many cases. Are there any firms that can start from scratch and make their mark?
Yeah, there are. And those firms are pretty inspiring. So I'll list a couple of them. Hogan Taylor, Shellman, Brixey & Myers, Century Business Consulting. These are all firms that have launched in the 2000s or even the 2010s. And they found their way into the IPA 100 and 200. What sets them apart is either a unique niche, a strong growth model, or in some cases, private equity backing that's accelerated their scale.
We've done shows on private equity before. It is a fuel for growth, for sure. And that PE angle, it just keeps coming up. Anderson, UHY, Carr Riggs, Ingram, some of the newer firms that have got significant investments. So private equity are really seeing something in these startup firms. And it's a good, reliable launch pad for firms to really get into the game that didn't exist last century.
Yes, but it's certainly not the only strategy. There are some firms like Brixey & Myers or Century who have grown almost entirely organically, which is so rare these days.
Yeah.
Their success suggests that there's still a path forward for those independent firms, but it requires an intentional strategy, usually around a very high demand service model or geographic opportunities.
What it means for the future. We can't predict the future with any certainty because we don't know what's going to happen next month, let alone next year. But if only 15 of the top 200 were founded in the past 20, 30 years, are we going to see the same firms dominating for the next century?
It's certainly possible, but it's not inevitable. There's definitely some gatekeeping in the form of scale, infrastructure, and legacy brand recognition. But at the same time, the market is changing. The technology, outsourcing, and new pricing models are giving smaller, newer firms ways to compete that didn't exist a generation ago. And part of me is curious, with all of the mergers and acquisitions that are going on, is that going to leave some partners or some staff feeling like maybe their home keeps shifting and cause a mass exodus and some new firm startup? Again, we can't predict the future. If we could, we wouldn't be doing podcasts. We'd be sitting on a beach with our Mai Tais. But
yes,
I just am curious if that's something we're going to see in 5 to 10 years from now.
But we certainly need private equity. It seems to be the vehicle for an aging workforce and partners close to retirement age to get out with some kind of equity. I'm just thinking the word comes to mind, disruption. If M&A continues at the pace it is, we're going to see some new names. We're going to have spin-ups, roll-offs, specialized boutiques. We're going to have heavier, bigger firms, way too in the marketplace, maybe break up of the top four. I don't know. So I know you talked to Alan Colton. He's a good friend of the show and a good friend of yours. He's very much in this space, isn't he?
Yes. And he said something really interesting when I shared this analysis with him. And nobody knows more about, if anybody can predict the future, it's probably going to be him.
Definitely.
He said, buckle up, because the next 5 years is going to bring more change than the last 45. Oh my gosh. So between the private equity influence, generational transitions, evolving service lines, AI, and increase in technology, we're likely to see a lot more turnover in the top 200. Maybe it'll be a startup boom, maybe not, but it's definitely going to be a restructuring.
So a lot of our audience are firm leaders, big and small. They're in partnership roles, they're in positions of responsibility, decision-making, they're holding budgets. So what advice would you give to them, particularly at the small, mid-size? What are the key takeaways here, Chelsea?
Yeah, so I don't think you need to assume that your firm needs to be 100 years old in order to be a leader in your space. There's room for firms to grow rapidly if they're strategic, adaptable, and intentional. Also, take a look at the firms who are breaking through. They're not all following the same playbook, but they are making clear bets on their talent, on their service focus, on operational models. The field may be crowded, but there is an opportunity if you're willing to make bold moves for your firm.
I'm just thinking too, how AI is changing the game, because you can be competitive with some of the big firms doing the big audit projects for a fraction of that price. And even outsourcing brings into play those scales.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Both of those things require capital, which is one of those barriers to entry. But I think there is some opportunity as the technology becomes more economical and it's more widely used inside the accounting profession for some smaller firms to be very tech heavy and compete with those larger firms. I very much see a world where that happens.
Let's talk about the legacy firms. I just want to draw a parallel with the tech world at the moment. There's some big legacy vendors that dominate the market, but there's thousands of startups and tech companies and niche offerings for the accounting space coming in, disrupting things. For the legacy accounting firms, Chelsea, should they be threatened? Are they fighting for relevance, not just with history, but the way things are going in the future?
Yeah. So I think that longevity is still very valuable, but the agility that the firm has is going to matter just as much. The firms that blend both their long-term market plays with the ability to shift and keep up with the current changes are the ones that we're going to be talking about in the next 5, 10, and 20 years. The things that got us here are not going to get us there, so the firms need to continue to adapt.
I tell you how I see that playing out in the marketplace is legacy firms still brag about their brand. We've been around for thousands of years. We've got a great brand. It allows us to attract the best talent. It allows us to get the best clients. People know who we are. They're banging our doors down. But actually, no. Clients and talent are much more discerning now. They don't care that your brand's been around 100 years. They want to go where the working environment is great. They've got interesting clients. They've got terrific work. They've got wonderful technology. They've got space to develop the career. A brand is not what it used to be.
Yeah, that's very true. And in a world where anybody can look up on social media or all firms have websites, you know, it really takes that, the prevalence of that brand down a little bit. It's not just who we see on the commercials or the golf tournaments. Clients and staff can do their own research now.
Well, these are brilliant insights. Longevity. I mean, what a topic. Not just the firms themselves. I'm thinking of the individuals in the game. Do you remember back in the day, and I qualified as a high school math teacher. So I got into teaching in my early 20s and thought, this is me for the next 40 years. But we're looking at the accounting game now. And whilst it might be a career for life, longevity, we know that people are coming in and then coming out of accounting private practice. They're going into industry, perhaps. They're going into tech. So longevity as an individual is not guaranteed now, is it, in accounting?
No, and I would echo the same thing for a firm. I think you need to be intentional about what you want. If your career in accounting is a launch pad for other things, great. Build your network and learn your skills and do with it what your ultimate career path is. I think that accounting is still a great career and that there is great potential for partnership models and, you know, to really spend your entire career in accounting, if not in the same firm. We see that every day. A new managing partner who started as an intern at the firm. Like, how crazy is that? You spend your entire career in one place. And there's value in that longevity, just like with a firm. There's also value in diversity of perspectives.
Yeah. Well, this is what you deal in at the Inside Public Accounting, Chelsea, the insights, the data. And if our audience want to delve deeper into this data, you've got a particular article that you've written on this, haven't you? Tell us about it.
Yeah. So this was featured in our IPA Insights, our trends report, and you can find it on the Inside Public Accounting website and learn more about this. And along with other trends that I wrote about for the last 20, 10, 15 years in accounting. And also for our podcast, don't forget to follow, subscribe, share the podcast with somebody on your team. If you visit our website, insidepublicaccounting.com/about/podcast, you can send us feedback, questions, topic ideas for future episodes. And we always appreciate it if you connect with us on LinkedIn, drop a note on our YouTube channel. We really do read every message.
Yeah, we do. And we've got a lot of questions coming in that we can't do in this episode, but we'll be featuring them in future episodes. But that's it for this week. We go live every Tuesday with another deep dive on what's happening behind the numbers. Thanks so much for joining us. And Chelsea, as always, it's been a privilege to have you on the Inside Public Accounting podcast. Just give us a quick sneak preview of the other things we've got coming up over the next few weeks on the show, Chelsea.
Yeah, absolutely, Rob. So very shortly, we will be launching our practice management report. So really looking at all the firms that participated in the survey and things like compensation, leverage models, billing rates, governance models of firms. We're really going to be digging into all the data. We also have reports coming out that are targeted to firm administration, to human resources, and information technology. So all of those reports will be launching soon. And on the podcast, we plan on covering topics that are most relevant and cover the questions that you guys are asking us on these podcasts in future episodes. So stay tuned.
Exciting times. This is the only podcast that gives you the objective, unbiased research and the stories behind them. Thanks so much for joining us, Chelsea. Look forward to the next one.
Yep. Have a good week.